This is my favorite night of the year. I love this moment. I love the feel of this room. I love just the sense of being together and seeing people who don't live here anymore, but this is the church that they're a part of, and they come back into town, and they're here to celebrate. And I just love the experience of being able to come together and celebrate what tonight is all about. I also have to admit it's a little bit of a challenge because the story is the same every year. And if you're the one who's supposed to get up and talk about the story, you kind of run out of things to say. I was serving at a church one time, and there was a lady who was very faithful. She came all the time, but her husband would only come on Christmas and Easter. And he kind of made a joke to the pastor one day. He said, "Preacher, you're in a little bit of a rut. Every time I hear you preach, you're talking about Jesus being born or rising from the dead." And the pastor said, "Well, we talk about other things on the weeks in between, so, you know, come back sometime." But it's true. It's the same story every time. We keep coming back to it. And as I keep coming back to it, I'm amazed each time. And I come back to it, and I try to look at it a little bit differently. And this year, this was the line that got me. This was the one that I stuck with, and I said, I think that's where God's leading us to go this year. You read the story, and Everly Kate just read the part about the angels appearing to the shepherds. And a lot of times we don't keep reading, but if you keep reading, the next few verses describe the shepherds going to Bethlehem, encountering Jesus lying in a manger, and Mary and Joseph are there, and it's this beautiful scene, and then they go, and the shepherds go and tell others about what they have seen. And then we get this line from Luke in the second chapter, verse 19. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's so much to treasure and ponder in this story and in this night. What are the things that you treasure? What is it about Christmas that you treasure? Is there something in your life, maybe a family tradition, that you treasure and you ponder and you look forward to every year? In my wife Emma's family, when she was growing up, the thing that they would do, their big experience as a family, was they would go around and look at Christmas lights. They called it oohs and ahs, because they would all look at the lights and they would go, ooh and ah. And so my father-in-law was in town over the weekend, and we got to go look at some Christmas lights. We went to Wendover, we went to Camp Rock, we went and traveled all around and enjoyed the Christmas lights and the oohs and ahs. It's a wonderful tradition to treasure. Maybe there's a particular gathering in your family. Maybe it's tonight. Maybe you're wondering how long this is going to go, if you're going to make it on time to that gathering. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's already happened and you celebrated the experience of being with those that you love. And maybe there's something about that gathering, something that you do, a tradition or a dish or an experience that makes it so special. Maybe it's a favorite Christmas movie. I got to have a little bit of joy the other night. My kids wanted to watch A Christmas Carol. They picked the wrong version. They didn't pick 1984, but it was okay. They picked A Christmas Carol, and I got to treasure that moment of watching that movie that I love so much and that story that I love so much. Maybe for you, the thing that you treasure is being here. Maybe you have a tradition of being in this place every Christmas Eve. Maybe you've been here, and maybe you've got a streak going of how many years that you've been a part of this service. There are so many things that we treasure. And I'm at this time of year, I'm trying to think of ways to treasure the most important things in life. I got challenged the other day. I'm going to Africa in a couple of weeks. I'll send an email out to the church about it next week, so you know what's going on with that. If you're not on the church email list, consider this your commercial to join the church email list. It's really easy. Just go to our website, click on signups, church email. But I'm going, and I've been dialoguing with some people there, and one of the people I've been dialoguing with is a guy at a hotel that we're going to be staying at, and I got an out-of-the-office reply from him, and I love this. This is full of treasure. He says, "During this holiday that will last until Friday the 3rd of January, well done, long vacation, I will be out of the office and relaxing in Tanzania, catching up with friends and family and spending quality time, building and sponsoring a local road in Africa to help a community, visiting various places to gain inspiration, and enter 2025 with 20-25% power, eating organic fresh fruits and veggies from rainforests around me. Not to mention that I will be guarded by my beautiful 2 3-year-old wild German shepherds that just completed their obedience trainings." And I thought to myself, this guy, his name's Dennis, You don't know where he lives. He is enjoying his holiday. He is treasuring the moment. He is making the most of it. And I thought about the things I want to treasure. I thought about the things that make Christmas so special to me and so special to my family. And I started to ponder them. And those things that we treasure, the things that we ponder, are the ones that we keep coming back to. They're the ones that bring us life. They bring us joy. They're the ones that make Christmas, Christmas. They're the ones that bring us alive. And the reason we cling to them, the reason that we long for them, is because we're longing for a sense of hope. Maybe in the past few months or in the past year, you've experienced struggle. Maybe there have been challenges that you have faced. If you live in Valdosta, you have faced challenges the past few months. We got hit with our third hurricane in 13 months, then 6 weeks later had a 1,000-year rainfall. It's been a lot. I had somebody say the other day that the Eager subdivision is one road closure away from being an island. I mean, it's been a challenging few months and a year here in Valdosta. But in the midst of those moments, in the midst of the experience we might have of being like Isaiah described, people walking in darkness, people longing for hope, there are these things that we treasure that we keep coming back to, and they bring us back to the light and back towards the hope. In this story, there are so many things to treasure. Mary had a lot to ponder and a lot to treasure about what she experienced that night. I try to think about it sometimes from the perspective of Mary, and you know, it's intimidating enough, I know this, not as a mom, but as a dad, of going home from the hospital with your first child and thinking there is a human that I am responsible for caring for. In Mary's case, it was, I am responsible for caring for the literal Son of God here in the flesh. And she had that to ponder and that to treasure. There were so many things in the story that just were amazing to her. Not only the way that the angels appeared and that the shepherds came and people were coming from afar to worship and to adore the Son that had been born to her and the Son that had been born to God. She was so caught up and had to have just been overwhelmed and probably just sat back and looked, maybe with a tear in her eye, a smile on her face, and she treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. There are so many things about this story that are worth treasuring. Not to mention the fact that we have within this story this amazing proclamation of the gospel. And it's not made to a ruler on a throne. It's not made to the religious leaders in the temple. Instead, it is made to people who are lowly, people who are lower class, and they are given the message, today, your Savior has been born. The one who has come to redeem you, the one who has come to bring good news to all people, he has been born in Bethlehem. There was so much to treasure and to ponder and to rejoice in. So much to hold on to. For me, we've already done my favorite part of the service. I'm just kidding. I like the candlelight too. But I have to say, the thing that brings me home every year on Christmas Eve is when we hear O Holy Night. That is my absolute favorite song, and I'm not just talking about my favorite Christmas song. It is just filled with so much richness, the arpeggios at the beginning, you've got the 12-8 time flowing with beautiful movement, you've got the changes of the chord progression as you shift from one dramatic scene to another, as you go from verse to pre-chorus to chorus. I mean, it is filled with so much richness, and that's just the musical component. I mean, look at the words and the power that is found within them. And for me, whenever I hear O Holy Night, I can visualize in my mind's eye, sitting in the pew of the church that I grew up in, and there was this man named Jack Hall, and he would sing it every single year, and I can just visualize him there, and when I see that, I'm home. When I see that in my mind's eye, that's what I treasure and what I ponder. Because I remember even as a kid, when I would hear those notes play on the piano, and I would hear that rich baritone voice sing out those words about the power of what this night was all about, I knew it was something different. I knew that it was something special. Yesterday, I shared something on social media about that song and about how much it means to me and how it is one of those things that anchors me. Somebody in our church sent me something from author Sari Bessie in which she described an experience that she had in her life where she felt as though she was kind of, we would say, wandering in the darkness. She had basically given up on her faith. She was wandering away from it. She was ready to just walk out altogether. But she was married, and they had a couple of young kids, and her husband said, "I want us to give church a try just one more time on Christmas Eve. Can we go to church on Christmas Eve?" He wasn't quite ready to let go of the traditions and the things that they had treasured and the things that had anchored them. And so he said, "Can we go just one time?" So what they did is they found a church that they didn't go to, but they had a live nativity with kids in it on Christmas Eve, and they signed up their two kids to be in the nativity. And so there they are at this church they don't attend with their kids dressed up as farm animals, and they're there giving church a try one last time. And she said she didn't want anything to do with organized religion. She didn't want anything to do with God. But this is what she described as she sat there in that service. "I remember that night so clearly because when the small church choir began to sing, 'O Holy Night,' I just lost it. The tears welled up in my eyes and dripped down to my nose. I could not stop crying no matter how sternly I told myself to get a grip. I was almost mad at myself. Was I so easily manipulated by singing and candles? But then I just gave up and let myself believe for the night, just one more night." There was something about standing in that nearly empty church with the remnants of a once thriving congregation, surrounded by elders who had endured singing those old hymns, that felt exquisitely sharp to me. I had forgotten that some part of me loved this still. I had walked into that church ready to throw out every single thing that had once mattered to me and resenting even having to be there. But now I realized that I wasn't ready to say a total goodbye. Not yet. I didn't know what I thought about church or the Bible or big theological issues that were bothering me or what this would mean for our lives moving forward. But in that moment when the small congregation sang out that his law is love and his gospel is peace, I thought to myself, God, I still want this. I don't want to lose this. If that is the actual gospel, I think I could stick around on the edges of this forever." She went on to describe how her faith would be a journey and she would continue to find her way back home. But there was something about her experience of being in that church on Christmas Eve, of hearing that song, that brought her back to the light and towards the hope that she once had. And ultimately, that was the light that led her home. And there are so many things in the Christmas story that we cling to, that anchor us, that we treasure and ponder in our heart. And when we do, it gives us the hope for the darkness that we experience in our life and the wandering that we sometimes feel. I read this story yesterday in my office, and I was just crying in my office. Unfortunately, there wasn't hardly anybody here on the Monday before Christmas, except for Margaret, our poor office assistant. She was getting ready to leave, and she's waving goodbye, "Merry Christmas," and I'm just there, "Merry Christmas." I mean, just losing it, reading about this story about O Holy Night, a story that means so much to me. But in that moment, I couldn't help but think about moments where I felt like I was on the fringes. Moments where I felt like I was walking in darkness. I thought back to an experience I had a couple of years ago in which I felt as though I was walking in the darkness, questioning my thoughts on God and not really knowing where to turn. And then I thought back to earlier this year when I went through a season of just really wrestling and struggling with a sense of restlessness. It had built up for months. And then all of a sudden, it just completely gripped me, and it just all seemed as though I reached this boiling point. I'm 41 years old. I was supposed to have the midlife crisis at age 40, but it got lost in the mail and delayed by a year. And here it was. And I found myself in that moment realizing I couldn't walk in the darkness alone. I needed other voices to come alongside me. Voices like we hear when we come together in those moments we treasure of singing, "O Holy Night" and "Silent Night." I needed people to walk the journey with me. So I got with a few of my friends. I was like, "Hey, I can't walk this alone. I need you to be with me." And then I said, "I need to go see somebody." And so I took the time and through a mentor got connected with this specialist in Jacksonville. And I didn't go into detail with the staff. I just told them, hey, I'm kind of walking through a situation right now. I might not seem like myself. And then a few days later, I said, I'm going to see a specialist in Jacksonville. That apparently is not what you say when you're struggling with your emotional and mental health. And so I had to go back and clarify and say, I'm going to see a counselor. I'm not dying. I'm just crazy. And they were relieved. They knew that already. And so all things were good. But I remember going the very first time to meet with him. And I remember going down to the beach. And for me, it was one of those moments that I treasure. It was one of those experiences that I ponder. Because I can think back to so many memories that I've been standing beside the Atlantic Ocean and God has spoken to me. I think about the time that Emma and I were on our honeymoon and we're walking alongside the Atlantic Ocean and I'm telling her how I feel like God's calling me into the ministry. Really not the best conversation to have on your honeymoon, by the way. I'm thinking about a conversation I had with a friend of mine in which I was just confessing some things that were wrong in my life and how being there by the ocean, it was as though God's grace was washing over me. And I'm standing there and I'm almost giddy to be able to sit down and talk with someone about all this restlessness that's built up into me that's brought me to this breaking point. And I just remember sensing, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to surround yourself with other voices to come along as a chorus to help guide you home. And you're supposed to cling to those things that you treasure. You're supposed to cling to those things that bring you hope and can lead you back home. I forgot to mention this at the last service. I did make it out of this season. So if you talk to anybody who went to the early service, make sure they know that I'm not still going through my midlife crisis. It was about 6 weeks, and it felt like walking in the darkness. But the things that brought me home were the things that always bring us home. Knowing that there's a sense of community around us, knowing that there is a God who loves us, and knowing that there is a message of hope that we encounter in the love of Jesus Christ. If the gospel is all about his law is love and his gospel is peace, I too want to stand on the edge of that forever. Because when we sing a song like O Holy Night, we're not just singing some sentimental song that we sing each year because it's part of the worship order. We're singing it because it tells us what this night is all about. When we think about living in a weary world filled with darkness, we are reminded in those words that the coming of Jesus gives us a thrill of hope that causes a weary world to rejoice. When we hear these words, we're reminded that though we walk in darkness, that we serve a God who sent his son Jesus, that in his name all oppression would cease and all chains would be broken. When we proclaim the light of Christ, we are not just proclaiming something that has sentimental value and something that we do because it's a tradition. We are proclaiming it because it is the light that comes into the darkness of our lives and changes everything for us. And we sing this song because it is something that we treasure and we ponder, and it brings us back to where we need to be. And my hope and my prayer for us this year is that when we gather to light our candles, when we come to the table to celebrate communion, it's not just something that we go through the motions of, but instead, it's something we're invited to treasure and to ponder, to realize that these things that we do have significance, and that we are celebrating what the Gospel of John describes to us as the light coming into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And when we light our candles, when we raise them in the air, we are saying to the darkness in our lives, and we are saying to the darkness in this world, that Christ has come, that Christ is alive, and that we are surrounded by so many things that we can treasure and ponder, that fill us with hope and fill us with life. And so we come tonight to the table of our Lord, remembering that he has come for us, that we might see the light and we might see the hope.